Envision this. You're seeing a 60-year-old female who initially presented to the emergency department with symptoms of a urinary tract infection and fever. Over the past several hours, her condition worsened clinically with an increasing pulse, decreasing blood pressure, increasing respiratory rate, and decreasing oxygen saturation, despite receiving antibiotics, intravenous fluids, and oxygen. She's admitted to the hospital and blood cultures grow E. coli. Her chest x-ray, initially normal, now shows a diffuse bilateral infiltrate. Electrocardiogram and echocardiography show that her heart is normal. Her daughter asks why her mother's condition is worsening. How will you explain to your patient's daughter what is happening? Welcome to Audio Bricks. This is Ed Barnes breaking down acute respiratory distress syndrome in your ears. After completing this brick, you will be able to 1. Define acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS. 2. Describe the clinical presentation of a patient with ARDS. 3. Explain the pathophysiology of ARDS, including common causes. 4. Explain how to diagnose ARDS using the Berlin criteria. And 5. Outline how to manage ARDS, including ventilator strategies. Part 1. What is acute respiratory distress syndrome? Acute respiratory distress syndrome, also known as ARDS, is a severe inflammatory lung condition that causes rapid and severe pulmonary injury. It begins with the damage to the endothelial cells which line the blood vessels in the lungs. This damage makes these endothelial cells highly permeable, allowing fluid to leak into the alveoli and supporting tissues of the lungs. When fluid collects in the pulmonary alveoli and interstitium, also known as pulmonary edema, gas exchange is reduced, resulting in respiratory failure with hypoxemia and/or hypercapnia. ARDS is not a disease, but a syndrome of lung injury that can occur as a complication of a variety of disorders, such as pneumonia, sepsis, and pancreatitis. The common denominator is lung inflammation that results from these serious conditions and leads to the capillary leak. It's estimated that there are approximately 200,000 cases of ARDS annually in the United States. ARDS is diagnosed in approximately 10-15% of admitted intensive care unit patients, making it a common disorder to deal with by those who see critically ill patients. Let's stop for a quiz. What is the common underlying etiology of acute respiratory distress syndrome? Lung inflammation with consequent endothelial cell damage is a common underlying etiology of ARDS. Part 2. How do patients with ARDS present clinically? Acute respiratory distress syndrome usually develops within a week of the inciting disease or traumatic event, signaled by sudden onset respiratory distress with rapid decompensation. As patients with ARDS develop worsening respiratory failure, they become progressively dyspneic with increasingly labored breathing. They also might appear cyanotic and develop altered mental state due to peripheral and cerebral hypoxia, respectively. Because ARDS can be secondary to a variety of underlying illnesses, the patient may initially present with symptoms of those disorders, such as epigastric pain and acute pancreatitis, or fever and cough and pneumonia. Let's pause for another quiz. What are clinical signs of worsening acute respiratory distress syndrome? Dyspnea, labored breathing, cyanosis, and altered mental state are all signs of worsening ARDS. Part 3. What is the pathophysiology of ARDS? The hallmark of ARDS is diffuse pulmonary, capillary, endothelial, and alveolar damage caused by exaggerated immune response to injurious stimuli. Let's break down some of the causes of ARDS by outlining them in an order of frequency. Sepsis, which is the most frequent cause of ARDS, is a condition in which toxins from the causative organism and inflammatory cytokines damage the lung. Pneumonia is a condition in which pathogenic microorganisms directly damages the lung. Aspiration of gastric contents into the respiratory tract is a cause that results in direct lung damage from gastric acid and oropharyngeal flora. Shock is a condition in which hypoperfusion and reduced oxygen delivery damage the lung. Trauma, anywhere in the body, can trigger a systemic cytokine surge. Acute pancreatitis is a condition in which pancreatic enzymes released into the bloodstream cause lung damage and systemic inflammation. Fat embolus, i.e. after a femur fracture, which can cause ischemic lung injury. Drug overdoses can directly and indirectly damage the lungs. Common drugs include aspirin, cocaine, opioids, phenothiazine, and tricyclic antidepressants. Idiosyncratic drug reactions, such as those caused by chemotherapy drugs and nitrofurantoin. And lastly, the least common cause of ARDS is blood transfusion, which increases systemic cytokine release. Moving on to the pathogenesis of ARDS. These stimuli can sometimes directly damage the lungs, but they may also cause an excessive activation of the innate immune response, leading to a massive release of pro-inflammatory molecules, including cytokines like IL-1, IL-6, and TNF-alpha, or cytotoxic enzymes like protease, nuclease, lipase, or free radicals like superoxide or hydrogen peroxide. As a result of this inflammation, there's damage to multiple lung cell types, including the pulmonary capillary endothelial cells. Damage to these cells cause fluid and protein leakage into the alveolar space and interstitium, resulting in non-cardiogenic pulmonary edema. This means fluid in the pulmonary interstitium and alveoli is not caused by heart failure. The edema limits gas exchange and causes respiratory failure. Or type 1 pneumocyte. Damage to these cells injures the basement membrane, which allows oxygen and carbon dioxide to diffuse during normal respiration. As a result, gas exchange is reduced and respiratory failure occurs. Or finally, type 2 pneumocytes. Damage to these cells decreases their production of pulmonary surfactant. This causes alveolar collapse, decreased lung compliance, and impaired ventilation. Here's another quiz. What are the mediators of diffuse alveolar injury in acute respiratory distress syndrome? Lung injury leads to release of inflammatory cytokines, cytotoxic enzymes, and free radicals in ARDS. The main consequences of ARDS are impaired gas exchange and shunting, leading to respiratory failure. The impaired gas exchange comes from the fluid and thickening of the alveolar capillary membrane. Shunting is blood that moves past the alveoli unoxygenated due to the occluded and non-functioning alveoli seen in ARDS. Both can lead to hypoxemia. Capillary damage causes other regions of the lung to lose blood perfusion, creating pathologic dead space. Hypoxemia, or reduced blood oxygen content, is a common characteristic of ARDS as it's associated with an increased alveolar to arterial, or AA, gradient, reflecting poor oxygen diffusion into the capillaries. Contributing causes include reduced gas exchange across the basement membrane, shunting, and VQ mismatch, in which there is an unequal balance between ventilation and perfusion in multiple lung regions, a result of poorly ventilated alveoli. Hypercarbia, or increased blood PaCO2, is also common in ARDS. This is due to the body's inability to compensate for the increased physiologic dead space caused by capillary damage, resulting in underventilated areas of the lung. Hypercarbia causes respiratory acidosis, which lowers blood pH. Let's stop for a quick quiz. Why does increased dead space develop in acute respiratory distress syndrome? Increased dead space develops in ARDS because damage to pulmonary capillaries creates areas of underperfused alveoli which cannot exchange gas. Histologically, fluid leakage from damaged capillaries leads to infiltration of the airspace with inflammatory cells and causes the formation of intraalveolar hyaline membranes, which impair gas exchange within the alveolar capillary unit. Part 4. How do we diagnose ARDS? Now that we have a basic understanding of ARDS, let's look more closely at how it's clinically defined. We've already mentioned the symptoms and shown that hypoxemia and hypercarbia, or progressive respiratory failure, are common, but we now have some formal guidelines to make the diagnosis. The Berlin criteria are now the international consensus guidelines for defining ARDS. 4 criteria must be met for a patient to be diagnosed with ARDS. 1. Acute onset of symptoms must be within 1 week of a known clinical insult or the patient has a new or worsening respiratory symptoms. 2. Chest imaging shows bilateral opacifications or infiltrates not fully explained by pleural effusions, lobar lung collapse, or pulmonary nodules. 3. Non-cardiogenic pulmonary edema, respiratory failure, and pulmonary edema are seen on imaging that are not fully explained by cardiac failure or exogenous fluid overload. And finally, 4. Impaired oxygenation. The ratio of partial pressure of arterial oxygen to the fraction of inspired oxygen, or the PaO2 over the FiO2, is less than or equal to 300. Now that we've listed the criteria, let's look at them one at a time. The timing, acute, not chronic, is important, but it's also critical that the identified insult be one of the known causes of ARDS listed above, not just as a systemic disease. Chest imaging will show opacifications that will appear as white patchy infiltrates with minimal dark space that represents air in the lungs. The appearance on chest imaging clearly reveals why these infiltrates disrupt airflow. The observed pulmonary edema on imaging should not be due to cardiogenic causes, such as heart failure. Infiltrates seen in heart failure may appear identical to those in ARDS. How can we assure that heart failure is not responsible? Patients suspected of having ARDS typically will undergo cardiac echocardiography to ensure normal cardiac function. In cases where this still remains uncertain, a pulmonary artery catheter can be inserted to determine the pulmonary capillary wedge pressure, which is the measure of left atrial pressure. Patients with ARDS should have a normal pulmonary capillary wedge pressure, whereas patients with cardiogenic pulmonary edema will have an elevated pulmonary capillary wedge pressure. This elevation occurs in chronic heart failure because a failed left ventricle leads to increased pressure in the left atrium, which then backs up into the pulmonary circulation, causing increased capillary hydrostatic pressure and cardiogenic pulmonary edema. This physiology is absent in ARDS. Moving on to impaired oxygenation. The last of the criteria is impaired oxygen diffusion, or PaO2 over FiO2, less than or equal to 300. It's the same thing as saying there's an increased arterial alveolar oxygen gradient, or inspired oxygen exceeds blood oxygen. We mentioned earlier that hypercarbia is common, not uniform, in ARDS, but note that in the Berlin criteria, it is not a formal requirement for ARDS diagnosis. Impaired carbon dioxide diffusion is less common than impaired oxygen diffusion in ARDS, partially explaining why we do not use the PCO2 in the diagnosis. Let's stop for a quiz. What are the chest X-ray findings in a patient with acute respiratory distress syndrome? A patient with ARDS has bilateral diffuse opacifications or infiltrates on chest X-ray. Part 5. How do we treat ARDS? Patients with ARDS are usually critically ill, both as a result of ARDS and its underlying cause. They typically are managed in an intensive care unit, often including endotracheal intubation and ventilator support. The underlying cause should be treated aggressively. Currently, there is no evidence for pharmacological therapy, including corticosteroids, for the treatment of ARDS, despite the intense inflammation that sets off the lung injury. VQ mismatch and resultant hypoxemia can be improved by placing the patient in a prone position. This decreases lung compression caused by gravity and the heart, both of which can limit lung expansion and increase the VQ mismatch. While many patients with ARDS require mechanical ventilation, this can be avoided in some patients by using high-flow nasal cannula with humidified air. This increases oxygen delivery when compared to traditional low-flow nasal prongs. The flow of the elevated concentration of oxygen reduces the pulmonary physiologic dead space and adds additional end expiratory pressure to keep the alveoli expanded and maintain gas exchange. Patients tolerate high-flow nasal cannula better than traditional non-invasive masks, for example, rebreather masks. The cornerstone of treating most patients who have ARDS is endotracheal intubation with precise ventilator management. While mechanical ventilation is covered in another brick, we'll make a few basic points here. Mechanical ventilation keeps the alveoli open by increasing airway pressures and increasing oxygen delivery to compensate for the patient's decreased oxygen diffusion and increased AA oxygen gradient. Unfortunately, mechanical ventilation has risks, and both high airway pressures and too much oxygen can harm the lungs. Ventilators must be precisely adjusted to prevent severe alveoli distension caused by high pressures or barrel trauma, or high volumes or volute trauma. These can cause additional lung damage during ventilation. Two major ventilator principles used to achieve these goals are: 1, the fraction of inspired oxygen, or FiO2, and positive end expiratory pressure, or PEEP, are typically titrated to maintain adequate oxygenation and keep the alveoli open, while minimizing the risk of oxygen toxicity and barrel trauma. Optimal PEEP reduces alveolar collapse at the end of expiration, improving the VQ mismatch. And 2, low tidal volume, or LTVV, is used to maintain the normal PO2 while avoiding alveolar overdistension and rupture or volume trauma. And finally, let's discuss permissive hypercapnia. You might think that using low tidal volumes and low airway pressures would result in insufficient ventilation, leading to inadequate CO2 removal and hypercapnia. This does occur in some ventilated patients with ARDS, but it's now known that some degree of PCO2 elevation, or permissive hypercapnia, is acceptable, so it's common for the respiratory tidal volume or rate to be slowly decreased with close monitoring of the PaCO2. Permissive hypercapnia is the term used to describe the method of ventilating the lungs with a low inspiratory volume and pressure to reduce lung damage from mechanical ventilation. You might be surprised to learn that patients can tolerate a PCO2 as high as 80 to 100 millimeters per mercury, normal is 40, using this technique. The benefit is that we do not damage the lungs further with overly aggressive tidal volumes, and we avoid volume trauma. The mortality rate of ARDS may be as high as 40 to 50%. But remember that some of this is due to the underlying severe illness that caused the ARDS. More patients survive because of increased awareness and improved treatments, but they are often left with lingering effects, such as breathing problems, fatigue, muscle weakness, memory and cognition issues, and depression. Let's stop for one last quiz. What are the two main mechanical ventilation strategies used in the management of acute respiratory distress syndrome? In the management of ARDS, the two main ventilator methods are optimum positive end expiratory pressure and low tidal volume ventilation. And that brings us to the end of our discussion on acute respiratory distress syndrome. Now, let's recap to see if we completed our goals. First, can you define acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS? ARDS is a severe inflammatory lung condition that causes rapid and severe pulmonary injury. Damaged endothelial cells become highly permeable, allowing fluid to leak in the alveoli and supporting tissues of the lungs, then leading to a pulmonary edema and reduced gas exchange, resulting in respiratory failure with hypoxemia and/or hypercapnia. Next, are you able to name the two key features of the clinical presentation of patients with ARDS? Sudden onset of respiratory distress with rapid decompensation to respiratory failure and increasing labor breathing. Patients also might appear cyanotic and develop altered mental state due to peripheral and cerebral hypoxia, respectively. Next, can you name the three most common causes of ARDS? Sepsis, pneumonia, and aspiration of gastric contents into the respiratory tract are the three most common causes of ARDS. Other causes are shock, lung trauma, systemic trauma, acute pancreatitis, fat embolus, drug overdoses, idiosyncratic drug reactions, or blood transfusion. Next, are you able to describe the Berlin criteria and how it's used to diagnose ARDS? The Berlin criteria are now the international consensus guidelines for defining ARDS. Remember, four criteria must be met for a patient to be diagnosed with ARDS. 1. Acute onset of symptoms must be within 1 week of a known clinical insult, or the patient has a new or worsening respiratory symptoms. 2. Chest imaging shows bilateral pacifications or infiltrates, not explained by pleural effusions, lobar lung collapse, or pulmonary nodules. 3. Non-cardiogenic pulmonary edema. Respiratory and pulmonary edema are seen in imaging that are not fully explained by cardiac failure or exogenous fluid overload. And finally, 4. Impaired oxygenation, the ratio of partial pressure of oxygen to the fraction of inspired oxygen, or PaO2, over FiO2, is less than or equal to 300. Finally, can you name the four main approaches implemented to manage ARDS? Placing the patient in the prone position to improve the VQ mismatch. Use of high-flow nasal cannula with humidified air to improve oxygenation, decrease pulmonary physiologic dead space in the lungs. Ventilator management to prevent severe alveoli distension caused by high pressures or barrel trauma or high volumes or volute trauma. And finally, permissive hypercapnia with the benefit of avoiding damage to the lungs further with overly aggressive tidal volumes or volute trauma. And that's it. Armed with your newfound knowledge on acute respiratory distress syndrome, let's get back to the patient from the beginning of this episode. You're seeing a 60-year-old female with low blood pressure, rapid heart rate, and respiratory failure. She also has a chest x-ray that was initially normal but now shows a diffuse bilateral infiltrate. How do you explain to her daughter what is happening? You suspect your patient is developing ARDS secondary to her urinary tract infection, now progressed to urosepsis, because there are positive blood cultures and worsening vital signs. You explain to her daughter, your mother has particularly severe reaction to the infection. Once the body starts to fight an infection, some of the normally helpful chemicals and reactions that would aid in the fight can sometimes be too much for the body, causing severe effects. In your mother's case, one of these effects is fluid leakage into the lungs, making it difficult to breathe and get enough oxygen. We call this acute respiratory distress syndrome. She will be admitted to the intensive care unit and supported with medications and oxygen. We may need to put a tube down her throat to provide her with more oxygen, so stay in close contact with us. that's it for our show. Make sure you like and subscribe if you like what you hear, and remember, your feedback helps us improve. You can enjoy the full BRIC experience online at www.usmle-rx.com, complete with illustrations, questions, flashcards, and active learning. So go check that out if you haven't already. Until next time.